Turn to Romans chapter 5. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let's go to verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, that's again Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Okay, now let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Begin at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely, shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail before because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, we have been I've had the privilege of speaking a series of messages on the title, and the title is In Adam or in Christ. We read in Romans chapter 5 how that sin came into the world. Adam and Eve sinned. So because of sin of Adam and Eve, then all the generations following Adam and Eve, everyone is born in sin. But then, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, appointed by God from eternity past because of his love toward us, who was sent, and the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, was born in Bethlehem of Judea for the sole purpose of dying for our sins and paying the whole price of our sins unto God for the remission of our sins. So now, we are either in Adam, we all have been born in Adam, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So, we're born in Adam, so we're in Adam. But then, there is a new provision now, and that is the gospel of the grace of God, and that is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and God has accepted that offering on behalf of our sins, and because of that, God hath highly exalted him and given him, the Lord Jesus Christ, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and so on. So now, the Lord Jesus Christ died, and he rose again, and he was with his disciples 40 days, and then he went up to be in heaven. And then, of course, after this, it was his promise, the promise of the Lord to his disciples, that the Holy Spirit, whom he would send to them from the Father, should lead them with all truth after he is gone up. And the Holy Spirit should show them, the disciples, the apostles, things to come. So, the line of teaching begins in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, when he was here on earth in the flesh, teaching his apostles and disciples, and then, of course, perfected by the words of Jesus in the Spirit. And the foundation in the facts, and we heard about Daniel, the foundation is in facts which have come to pass already and also will yet come to pass. Come to pass or will yet come to pass. So after the Lord Jesus Christ rose and went to heaven, there is continued progress on the part of the apostles and those writers. There's continued progress in Christ's teaching as expanded by the apostles. So we have not only the gospel, the grace of God, but then we have all the teachings following the when the Lord Jesus Christ went up to heaven, and the apostles kept writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. And so here we have all the way, and then we have Revelation, the last book that was written, and it was written by the apostle John. So here we have the book of Revelation written to the churches that were present at that very, very time. But then it was written for things which must shortly come to pass. They're things that have not come to pass yet. Right now is the church age. Right now we are the members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day this church, that means the body of believers, those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, are going to be called up to meet the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay? So that's the church age. But then, after that, there are things that have to come to pass even after that, and that is, it says it must, it's inevitable, shortly, without delay, indicating that these events are set in motion and governed by Christ. Now, these events in Revelation are related, really, to three great principles which appear throughout the whole New Testament. Number one is the principle of judgment. As sure as we're alive today, I know that sin has to be judged. There's no doubt about that. God told Adam and Eve, in the day that thou eatest thereof, that's of the forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely die. There's no doubt about that. God said it, and it's going to happen. Thou shalt surely die. Now, and in John 5 states that the Father gave the Son the authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ met all of God's demands concerning our sins. God manifest in the flesh and God is going to actually give the Son and has given the Son authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. What does that assert? Well, it asserts that the wages of sin is death. Sin, death. And God made that very, very clear, as I mentioned, to Adam and Eve. Don't touch of that tree. If you touch it, you're dead. And of course, they did. So the wages of sin is death. But then, of course, at the same time, it's not God's will that any should perish. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came and died to pay for that sin. To pay for that sin. Let me just say this here. A lot of people blame Adam for our sins, for my sin. Well, we all can go back to Adam. There's only one race in the world, only one race, and that is the human race. Now, in this race, in this human race, of course, then there's those that are still in Adam. Wages of sin is death, and those that are in Christ, and that is having been forgiven because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ on their behalf, and that they have received the Lord Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation, as our own personal Savior and Lord, and have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. So, the fate of the rebellious and unrepented world is not only physical death, but also it's eternal death. God has said it, and it has to come to pass. Now, the second principle in Revelation is redemption. That's amazing. It says, unto him that loved us, or loveth us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So here, the executor of this judgment is a lamb as it had been slain. We see that in chapter 5 of Revelation. So you have the Lamb of God, which was slain to pay for the penalty of man's sin. At the same time, he is going to actually be a judge. And yet, while this judgment is going on, there is also time for repentance. And it goes on to say, so many places, in several times, in the statement is made that they repented not. Here they were being persecuted, people were being persecuted, and judgment will come in here and there all over the world. And yet it says, and they repented not. So a lot of times, the reason God sends persecutions upon people so that they would wake up and they would repent. God sometimes brings fears into people's hearts and minds. That used to happen to me before I was saved. I used to dream these dreadful, dreadful dreams because my parents taught me about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and I knew had I died at that time in my sins, I would go to hell. I knew that. And I would have these nightmares sometimes, you know, the Lord is coming, or I'm going to go to hell. And I'd wake up really, really afraid. That's right. God wants us to remember sometimes in the middle of the night, because during the day we may not remember that, yes, there is judgment on sin, but at the same time, we can repent. And then last of all, Revelation is the final word on the establishment of the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ came as king, but he was not received as king. On the cross, he was declared to be the king of the Jews. And he said, oh, no, we don't put the king of the Jews. He says he is the king of the Jews. Pilate says, what I have done, what I have written, I have written. So we have in Revelation 5:10, it says, and hath made us, the believers in Christ Jesus, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So he is going to reign. The Lord Jesus Christ, as sure as he came into the world as a young babe, God manifest in the flesh, he is going to come again, he has promised, he's going to come again into the world to reign, and he's going to reign. He's going to reign. The Lamb that was once stood silent, meek, unresisting, enduring the utmost, to the utmost, the mean and cruel contempt of wicked men, when they raised him on the cross, when they bowed before him, mocking him, covered him with their disgusting spittle, spat on him, and ridiculed him, and crowned and pierced him with a piercer, the prickly thorn. And then, of course, the Roman army not only lifted him and pierced his hands and feet, and then, of course, one of them takes a spear and just pushes right into his lung to see if he is alive or not. So now the same Lamb, the same person, the same Lamb, which in his body is still having the marks of his suffering, now he is here seen as the object of heaven's worship. We came this morning during the breaking of bread to remember him in his death and to offer words of worship, adoration, and praise. He's going to receive worship. The scepter, the kingdom, will be wielded by Christ in association with his heavenly saints. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule. He's going to rule. There's going to be judgment upon sin. And those people eventually who have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, even from Adam on down all the way, those who have been dead outside of Christ, in Adam, and not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior and Lord, they're going to be coming under the judgment of Christ and the Lord Jesus of Christ, and all the rulers of the earth are going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that's when the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be complete. And what's so amazing is that we who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord are going to have the privileges of reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made unto God kings and priests because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf and our acceptance of him as our own personal Savior and Lord. We are going to be heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the saints, those believers, will never cease to reign as long as Christ is on the throne, as long as Christ wears the crown. And of course, the crown is eternal forever and ever, ages of ages. Brothers and sisters, I think about this thing again and again and again, and I said, Lord God, what do you see in me? What is it that I have done my whole life? I have not pleased you. I have sinned against you all the time. What do you see in me that you would love me so much? Yet God says, yes, but I am love. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. So judgment are the fate of the unrepentant and the unredeemed, as the kingdom is the destiny of the redeemed believers. Now, so here in Revelation, we come and the apostles are just keep developing and developing and developing by the power of the Holy Spirit. So then we have the dedication of the book of Revelation. The dedication of the book of Revelation is in verses 5 and 6. And that describes the revelation of Jesus Christ in terms of his relation to the believers. His relation to the believers. And here's what it says. Unto him, we read, that loved us, or loveth us, and washed us from our sins by his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. So there are three activities in this dedication. Number one is, he loves us. Unto him that loved us. Before the Lord Jesus Christ was sent into the world to die for our sins, to be able to save us from our sins, God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave. He loved us that he gave. What did he give? A lot of people say to me, you know, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior and Lord is so easy. It's got to be something else. Oh, it's so easy? It is easy on your part and my part. But let me tell you something, friend. Do you know that God spared not his own Son, but he delivered him up for us all? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ was God, the fullness of Godhead, manifest bodily? And that Godhead, manifest bodily, had to die for my sins so that I would be able to go free. Do you think salvation is easy? Yes, for you and me, all we have to do is receive him. But it cost God, his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He had made him, his Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He loved first. And then, after that, it says, and washed us. He washed us. We loved the permanent attitude, and then he washed. The result of that wonderful love that he had toward us, he washed. He was able to send. How much did he love us? For God so loved that he sent his only begotten Son. That's how much he loved us. How could you measure God's love? He sent. And he sent his only begotten Son. And of course, he shed his precious blood for us. Even though we were unclean at one time through sin, yet he loved us, and he shed his only begotten, his precious blood on our behalf on the cross of Calvary to satisfy God's demands against our sins. And he was forsaken by God. The only person that has ever been forsaken by God was his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ, in that 3 hours of darkness, was made sin for us, in effect, God made him to be sin for us, to be made a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, the price of our sins had to be fully paid, not by wicked men, because he's wicked anyway, but by God himself in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that price was paid to God on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah says his very soul was made an offering for sin, not his own sin, he didn't have sin, but for our sins. So he has washed us. First love, then washed. So the given of himself to us as a God-pleasing sacrifice. He is our propitiation, God-pleasing sacrifice, or dying and shedding his blood for us. Now, not only did the Lord Jesus Christ die for our sins and pay the price for our sins. Now it says, and he has made us made. And that's the third word. And it says, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. He has made us, those who are in Christ, not in Adam, in Christ, those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, as our own personal Savior, and saved by his grace and by his love, not our works of righteousness which we have done, no, but by his blood, the shedding of his precious blood on our behalf. Not only we are saved eternally to be with him, but we are declared to be kings and priests, which cannot be taken away. Kings and priests, which cannot be taken away. The effect which that love has produced in the work of redemption is so great. And one is, of course, as I mentioned, we have become kings and priests, and we are going to be reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. So undeserving. And yet, we are to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have become the sons of God. And that's amazing. Now, I want to spend just a few minutes on this term, son of God. Son of God. Now, God, when he created Adam and Eve, he was their creator. And as such, they were accountable to him. So as such, he was their father, in a sense that he created them and they were accountable to him. And then, of course, all of Adam's and Eve's offsprings were accountable to God as well. So, from a point of his creating power, he's creating us, we could say that he is our Father by creation. By creation. And this is why we are accountable to him, because he has created us. He is our Father by creation. And because of that, he could demand that sinners be punished by death. Be punished by death. He is the giver of our life and breath and all things. We were talking about Belshazzar. Brother Mike was talking about Belshazzar when Daniel went to read the writing on the wall. When Belshazzar saw that writing, and he was just began to shake, he was scared, and then of course they called Daniel. And here's what Daniel said. He said, "The God," now he's a sinner, okay? "The God in whose hand your breath is, thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified." So here you have a man, even a sinful man, living in Adam, is accountable to God. And as such, he could be called the father of mankind. Now I want to say this. I have heard some so-called religious leaders, because God has created, blame God for the way some people, they call them, that's the way they were born. In other words, you have some people who are so immoral in certain ways, and some religious people could say, well, God made them that way. God did not make anybody that way. God made Adam, when he created Adam, he created him perfect, sinless, completely sinless, without sin. And yet, a will. And by that will, Adam himself failed. Adam himself sinned. So, don't blame God for man's sin. And that's what some religious leaders have tried to do, to blame God. No. Yes, as created, we're accountable to him, and we're going to face him. Every single person is going to face the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. From Adam on, every single person in creation is going to face the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Okay. So now, in that sense, we're accountable to him. But calling him Father now is a different, we have a different relationship. We call him Abba Father, a real, real Father, because we are born again in God's family. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. How could a person be born again? Well, yeah, by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as the personal Savior and Lord, then they're born again and they become God's family. And now we can have the privilege of calling God our real Abba Father. Abba Father. And because of that, we become heirs of Christ. He is the Son of God and joint heirs with him. Okay. I wanted to make that difference. So now we know him as our own redeeming, saving Father, our Abba Father. So we are sons of God because of salvation, of salvation. So now we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And also, the Lord Jesus Christ says, we are made priests to offer up spiritual sacrifices of prayer and praise. We are made priests, not only priests, but kings. Kings. As kings and priests, positionally, we have the power over sin, over Satan, and the world, and all the enemies. Now, here's what I mean. What I mean is this. There was a time before we were saved, we were under the dominion of sin. But now, having been saved, having the Holy Spirit in us, the Lord Jesus Christ is in us to direct us, God himself is in us, then we have the power not to sin. We have the power to tell the devil, get away from me. Get away from me. So the devil is not our God anymore. He was. He usurped authority, and he was dictating our life before we were saved. But now he can't. So, we are clothed with rich apparel. That is the righteousness of Christ. When God sees us today, he sees us with the same righteousness as his Son has. And I quoted that verse. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. We are made kings, angels being our lifeguards. We are watched over all the time, not only by God, by Christ, by the Holy Spirit, but, of course, angels guard us. Angels guard us. We're going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he is reigning during the millennium, we're going to sit upon the same throne. I can't take it in. But we're going to be reigning with him. We're going to be reigning with him. And we are made such by him to God because of that salvation that we have in him. In him. Not of men. Men may despise us even here in this world. In fact, right now, When you say, I'm a Christian, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they think I'm a weakling. Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. They can't touch us. Only if God allows them to bring God glory and honor, he may allow that. He may allow that. Yeah. We are weaklings by men's estimation. Oh, those narrow-minded people. Oh, they can't. They're the ones that don't join the larger group. We take in everyone. No. The Lord is very, 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 the way he chooses only those who meet his righteousness, and people meet his righteousness only in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by salvation. Not even by angels. Only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to bring, we have 2 or 3 minutes, but I'm going to bring just the thought. I'm not going to go into it, but I'm going to bring just the thought. And the other theme, the first verse of Revelation, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. But then, the real theme of Revelation, and this is what Daniel touched on in the book of Daniel. The real theme of Revelation is in verse 7, and here's what it says. This is the central theme of Revelation. In one verse, behold, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, he cometh with the clouds. Here's the thing. And every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds, or that's tribes, of the earth, shall wail or mourn over him. So, this verse makes the return of Christ the theme of Revelation. Whether people like it or not, every single person that has ever been born in the world, and some did not even have the privilege of being naturally born, but they were conceived, they're going to see him. We're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. It asserts the universality because it's going to be witnessed by all men without regard to space. Every eye. It transcends geographical limitations. Saved and unsaved, not at the same time. Saved and unsaved, every eye shall see him. That means that every person physically shall see him. All those people turned to dust. Some of them were cast in the oceans to be meals for fishes and all that. It doesn't make any difference. From dust of the earth, the Lord formed man, and he could gather man from the dust of the earth. Ezekiel had to learn that. Can these bones live? He found out that they will. They will. Every eye shall see. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is great. He has paid the price. All we have to do is say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. I'm a sinful man, and I need salvation. Come into my heart and save me from my wickedness, because you have paid the price. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the promises, even back in the time of Daniel, and even in the New Testament, and even in Revelation. We realize, Heavenly Father, how every single person, every single eye is going to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his accomplishments on our behalf. And Father, we just think about how wonderful you are to love us, and how wonderful the gift that you gave us, and that is your Son, salvation through him and through his accomplishments. We give you thanks, Lord, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.